Good evening. This is the PNB Elections Committee meeting. It's is Monday, October 3rd, 2016. It's 7:45 p.m. Central Time, 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:45 p.m. Pacific Time. Bill Crozier calling the meeting to order. Nancy Sabara-Naratomi, can you call the roll, please?
Yes. KPFA, Sharon Adams. Sharon Adams, I do not hear you. Anthony Fest. Anthony Fest, I do not hear you.
This is Sharon. I'm here.
Okay. Sharon Adams, present. Margie Wilkinson, I can't hear you. KPFK, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Grace Aaron, present. Jan Goodman.
Present.
Jan Goodman, present. Charles Frederick.
Present.
Charles Frederick's present. WBAI, Bob Letter.
Here.
Bob Letter present. Frank Lefevre. Frank, I do not hear you. Serene Roberts. Serene, I do not hear you. KPFT, Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Wesley Bethune present. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Bill Crozier present. Nancy Sabara and I told me I'm present. Deb Shafto, I do not hear you. WPFW, Jim Brown. Jim Brown, I do not hear you. Could y'all mute if you're not talking? Jim Brown, I do not hear you. Eric Ramey.
Present.
Eric Ramey, present. Nancy Sorden. Nancy Sorden, I do not hear you. Marion Douglas Ngaro. Marion, I do not hear you. Somebody's got their, can y'all mute somebody? I'm hearing background noise. See, we have Eric, Nancy, Bill, Wesley. Somebody speaking? No. Okay. Bob Letter, that's five. Charles, six. Dan, seven. Grace, eight. And Sharon, nine. So we make quorum.
Thank you, Nancy. And I think somebody, it sounds like somebody has a, the phone on, maybe it's the audit committee. So somebody who is listening to audit, can you make sure you mute your phone, this phone, please, or take it off speakerphone, the other phone? Okay. And Lynn Serpy should be joining us very shortly. If anybody wants to make a motion to approve the September 21st minutes that Nancy sent out last week and just resent again, we could do that if you want, but this is a continuation meeting, so it would take a 2/3 vote to add that to the agenda.
Bill, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse the members that are on audit. They need to make quorum. Can audit people get off and do roll call on audit and come back?
It's up to them, sure.
Yeah, okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I'll be back.
Okay. Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion to that effect? If not, we can wait till the next meeting.
This is Grace. So moved.
Yeah, Grace. Okay, so Grace has moved to approve the September 21st minutes.
I'm not sure about anybody's
minutes. Yeah. Any corrections or discussion?
Yeah, so I have a stipulation. There is a part in the minutes where Nancy had forgotten something that Doreen said. So she put a question mark in there.
Okay, where was
but
that?
Other than
I think that.
Other than that, I would approve those minutes personally.
Do you remember where that was in the minutes?
Yes. If you scroll down to, I'm scrolling down. It was. I'm looking for it.
Well, there were some questions for the NES and the LESs.
Oh, yeah. It's right after questions for NES and LESs, and then it says Marion Douglas Ongaro, WPFW, joins, and right after that it has Serene. Cards need to be done about 1, 2, you know. It lists things.
Oh,
and,
number 3 says forgot. Okay.
Yeah, and then before that, there's a question mark.
I'm here. I think that was meant those are questions that we need to ask the LES.
Yeah, I think so. Questions.
Well, I mean,
it's under the topic, questions for NES and LESs. So pending that addition or correction, I would approve the rest of the minutes seem accurate to me. So I would amend the motion to approve pending additional information provided by Serene to the secretary to be added.
Are you back, Nancy? And I'll tell you, I do hear another phone in the background. It's really loud, speakerphone. Could you, whoever it is, has it on, could you mute yourself, please, or turn the other phone down? The third item under Serene, under that you're mentioning, just says forgot. So that, I guess that clearly needs to be added. Well, do you want to postpone approval then, or what are you suggesting?
Well, let's put it on the agenda after we speak to Lynn Serpy.
This is Lynn.
Okay. Hi, Lynn.
Is it good time, or are we ready?
Yeah, no, this is good. We were just trying to figure out if we could approve one of the sets of minutes, but we had a question and somebody's not here. So we will probably do that later.
Okay.
So shall we go on with Lynn's report? Is that okay, everybody?
Yes.
Okay, and thank you for joining us, Lynn. I know you've been busy the last week or two. So thank you.
I mean, it has been busy. I mean, certainly what happened was there was a significant uptick in requests for people requesting replacement ballots or new ballots. And so I know the local election supervisors worked extremely hard trying to accommodate all those last-minute requests. So as of the close of the election on September 30th, I was waiting to hear from True Ballot as far as how many ballots had been cast. They had to look at both the ballots that came in by mail on Friday as well as those who were cast online, and they spent the bulk of the day on Friday. They were effectively on call. They're based in California, so they were effectively on call pretty much from like 6 a.m. All the way until 9 o'clock at night because so many ballot requests were coming in from all over the country. So I received the final, not final, I received the number of ballots had been cast up until Friday from them on Sunday morning. And so at that point in time,
two attendances now.
Okay, I have no idea what just was said.
No, that's a background overflow from another call.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, all right. I was just trying to figure out if they were. All right. I'll just sort of cut to the chase. So the. I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just saying, if you're not Lynn, please mute yourself. So go ahead, Lynn.
Sorry. So the KPFA and WBAI elections have been closed, and that information was updated on the website. The KPFK, WPFW, and KPFT elections were all extended. The KPFK election was extended primarily because we are trying to make sure that all of our Spanish language listeners had adequate opportunity to hear about the election, find out information about the candidates, have an in-person bilingual candidate forum be aired, and have the opportunity to speak with the local election supervisor and things like that. So KPFK's election has been extended to Monday, October 10th. The WPFW election has been extended to this Friday. As of Friday night, I wasn't confident that we had received quorum. It had been not all that close in the week leading up, but then there was a flurry, quite strong flurry of ballots being cast at WPFW. And so as of today, I am very confident that they will achieve quorum by this Friday. I had spoken with the general manager, Jerry Paris, about the idea of perhaps doing robocalls to the members at WPFW. You can do robocalls to cell phones, but then if they don't answer the cell phone, it can basically be sent as a text message to remind people to go vote if it was felt that they needed to have that extra push. But it looks like they don't need to have that extra push, so the station does not need to spend extra money, which is a very good thing because as of as of Friday, September 30th, their local election supervisor has not been paid since his August 15th invoice. He continued to work, and obviously the election happened, and I, like I said, I'm confident that as of the close of election this Friday, that they will, in fact, have quorum for both their listener and staff elections. The election at KPFT, one of the challenges there, one of the more significant challenges there was there were a lot of requests for staff ballots that were made. The requests came from either staff themselves, or what happened in a number of situations was that a third party would request it. So we would get emails that say things like, these six people are staff and they need a ballot. And then we would look at the staff list that was provided by the station, and those names were not on it. And so then Alma would attempt, she's the local election supervisor, she'd attempt to see whether or not these people were or were not staff. An investigation made all the more difficult because program director Ernesto Aguilar left KPFT in August, and so the records either didn't exist or the people who were there didn't necessarily know. In some of those circumstances, she was able to receive confirmation that the person was or was not, in fact, a staff member. She did not always necessarily then have contact information because it was a third party who was contacting her about them, and so she would attempt to track that down. I mentioned all that just because as of the close of Election Day on Friday, there seemed to be still a number of outstanding rumors about staff needs for ballots, and so decided to extend the election to this Friday so that we would be able to try to rectify and reconcile and make a final determination that every effort that's reasonable was made to send ballots to all staff. And so I just got a phone with Alma to go over the process and the steps that she's taken, and it sounds like there's less than half a dozen requests that are left, none of which come from the member individually, and none of which she has any contact information for the staff members involved, as in no phone, no email, or no mailing address, nor is the station able at this time to provide that information. That was something that was a continual challenge at KPFT in particular, where mailing addresses were not a part of the staff lists that were provided by then program director Ernesto Aguilar. And when Alma would email asking for mailing addresses, she was not generally given those. Most staff members did not share that information. That that's a situation that was difficult at all stations, but particularly at KPFT, which is why I decided to extend the election to this Friday, just to have a chance to make sure that all reasonable efforts to get all ballots in were done. So I'm confident again that we will have quorum, and that all reasonable efforts will have taken place at KPFT by this Friday. So the true ballot has not yet begun counting the ballots. As you may or may not be aware, they were not, in fact, paid on September 15th, as they were supposed to be. A second round installment of money was supposed to be sent to them. That did not happen. They are still planning on counting the ballots, absolutely. I have not been told otherwise. But since the election was extended to Monday, the 10th, they're going to begin counting the ballots next week, so that rather than having to count on three different dates, they can just do it all at once, which saves them time, and so is reasonable considering that at this point they still haven't been paid for quite a bit of their time. So I won't have any results to announce until next week after the ballots have been counted, and so I guess that's the big picture overview. I could probably go on in great detail about the enormous number of emails that were generated, a number of which were abusive enough to the point that at least one local election supervisor at 4 a.m. on Friday morning emailed me out of concern about the potential for physical harm for being at the station, because of concern about the level of rhetoric and what could be perceived as a threatening email. I offered to have basically a bodyguard if needed. The decision was taken that wasn't needed, but I really have to express my, like, absolute disgust, actually, for the types of email and the level of rhetoric that many, certainly, of course, not all, and certainly, of course, not the majority, but far too many people engaged with. I felt that the tone of the and the culture of the communication style here at Pacifica was very surprising, very negative, very nasty, and I think it contributed to at least one of the losses of the local election supervisor, who may have been able to continue on in a more limited fashion, but was also so disgusted, to use a term that was used to me, by that. And so I will include that type of information and examples of the type of language I'm referring to in my report, which I had initially, I remember when I saw the length of some of the previous NES reports, not Joy Williams' report, which is very short, but earlier NESs, I remember being surprised at how long those reports are. I wouldn't be surprised if my report ends up being quite lengthy as well. It's been an interesting experience, not really a particularly positive one. I myself got quite sick throughout the course of the election cycle, and that certainly didn't help. And I absolutely own up to the fact that, due to being sick, I was not as responsive as I would have liked, and did not maybe have the emotional energy to deal with the type and level of rhetoric that I'm referring to. I hope that I should be able to have all of those outstanding issues resolved before the deadline this week. And anything that I still need to write up, I do plan to write up quite a lengthy report. So I do want to apologize that my illness made me not as accessible as I think I had been earlier in the election season. As you might be able to hear, I am still pretty sick. My voice is pretty much constantly croaky. I don't think I've been able to go more than a couple of days without throwing up in the last 6 weeks. But that's just to let people know and to apologize again in that I at times just was not able to respond in as quick a fashion as I would have liked and as I had done earlier in the election. So again, my apologies on that. Over.
Okay, well, thank you, and I do appreciate your dedication, and I know it's been a huge amount of work. I don't think any of us expected it was going to be, the complaints were going to be that bad, and I guess maybe we didn't know how abusive they were, but thank you for letting us know, and do please include some of that in your report. But thank you for hanging in there. Okay, should we go on with Q&A, or did you want to say anything else, Lynn?
No, I mean, I'm sure there's a number of questions. I have a number of questions, I would say it's good, be good to let people ask their questions, and I'll try to answer them to the best of my ability. I do need to get on another conference call at 9:30, so hopefully it gives just a little less than a half an hour, which is why I was trying to keep my report somewhat shorter than usual.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I'll just
Serene
open
the
up stack. The stack.
This is Serene Grace to the stack.
Is it Serene? Serene,
yes.
And Grace, and who else?
Jan Goodman.
And Bob.
Serene, Grace, Jan, Bob. Okay.
Charles,
okay. Well, let's all try to be brief so that we get a chance to get as many people as we can. Serene?
Okay, I would like to get the actual quorum number. First of all, I don't understand why there's not a statement on the website about what constitutes quorum for each election. Certainly, we know the numbers would have changed from when the ballots were initially mailed, because you subtract return mail and you add additional ballots. But there's got to be a way to put some kind of estimate there. This is the first election that we've had where there's no public statement about what constitutes quorum, so I would like to see that. I'd also like to know, moving up to the deadline, voter turnout was on particular days. The last report on the website is September 20th. I'd like to know what the numbers were on the 23rd and the 26th and then the 29th and then the 30th, even for those, even for those that are considered closed.
Okay, should we let her answer it now?
another question, but you can go ahead.
Okay, well, we can put you back on the stack. But okay, go ahead, Lynn.
Sure. I mean, you sort of addressed part of the answer yourself, although do you need to clarify the issue around undeliverables, which is that, you know, the quorum number does change as people are continuing to ask for ballots, and we're discovering more and more people who weren't included on the membership list. And so the reality was that I was not, and, you know, still really am not as confident as I would have liked about what the quorum number is, because the number was changing constantly, because we were constantly getting information about missing names, whether it was listener names or staff names. Then I do want to clarify, because you mentioned something about the undeliverables. Undeliverables are not automatically removed from quorum. In many cases, about 40% of the cases, we have email addresses for listener members in particular, so that while there may have been an undeliverable from a mailing address, it doesn't necessarily mean that their email ballot didn't get through. I'm hoping in the reporting period that I'll be able to do the cross-reference and the data analysis of that, so that we can see how many of the bad mailing addresses either had an email or didn't have an email, and whether they were both bad, et cetera. But I did just want to clarify that quorum is based on the number of members entitled to vote, not the number of members that we have a good mailing address for. If it was the latter, then that would provide even more incentive for the stations to not keep their list. I shouldn't say even more incentive. I should say that could potentially provide an incentive for a membership list not to be kept up to date if quorum was based on the number of valid mailing addresses. So just to clarify, quorum is based on the number of voters entitled to vote, and that number was constantly changing as we were receiving information, both from the stations, from listeners themselves, from producers of shows, about missing names on the member list. And this is a big problem. The fact that the member list at every single station were in really bad shape, the fact that none of them were given to the local election supervisors nearly on time. They were given after I don't even know how many repeated requests, you know, whether it was program directors or whether it was membership staff. I mean, Satara, it was up until 3 in the morning, I think two nights in a row, in the first week in August, which is already a week after the deadline, trying to provide information for me. The membership lists were a mess. Then as far as the voter turnout on particular days, I think the last date that I had a number 4 was the 27th. Generally, I was getting them once a week. I thought I had posted it on the 27th as well. If I didn't, I apologize, and I will put that up. I did not get daily numbers from the ballot company. I did not ask that of them. Let's keep in mind the fact that they have not been paid as they were supposed to, and so I was asking them for a weekly update, and that's what I received. So I will go and update for September 27th, and I apologize for not doing so. The next person on the staff is Grace.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can anyone hear me?
Yeah, but let's go on to the other people, and then we can come back to you, Serene, because you asked several questions, and I want to make sure we get to as many people as possible. Grace?
Okay. First of all, I'd like to apologize for the rude and out-of-line emails. That's truly not acceptable. And so you will be posting the exact number of return ballots for both listener and staff elections at all the stations. Is that correct? Sometime soon, up till at least the 27th of September?
Right. So I can, you know, if I'm able to get the 27th up by tonight, I can do that. And then when I get the final numbers from True Ballot, I can post those. Because two of the elections are closed, I can ask True Ballot for the updated numbers for those two stations at KPFA and WBAI. But until we close the ballot at WPFW, KPFT, and KPFK, I won't be able to post. I won't post those until those are done.
Okay. So am I to assume that the quorum has been achieved or is close to being achieved at KPFK and KPFT for both listener and staff elections, and of course, presumably at WBAI and KPFA, both elections have reached quorum.
Yeah, so based on the number that based on the numbers that have been provided by the local election supervisors, as far as all the additional ballot requests that they received and verified, that number that I have needs to be reconciled with the number that True Ballot has, just to make sure that we're operating off the exact same number. And so that will be the final, the final certified result. So based on the number I have, which I would say I'm confident is, reasonably close. I don't have access to the local election supervisor's email account, so I can only judge based on what they tell me. And then I have asked the ballot company to then also produce a report for me. I am confident that based on the information I've been provided so far, that we've achieved quorum at WBAI and KPFA, and that we are very close, if not already at quorum, at WPFW, KPFK, and KPFT. The particular issues of KPFK and KPFT, which are separate purely from the quorum issue, although partially were tricky, because the staff list in particular at KPFT were such a mess, I don't feel that I am able to confidently say, yes, this is absolutely the quorum number. And so that's what I'm trying to spend the next couple of days focusing on, because the list at KPFT apparently really were in very bad shape. And I don't know how much of that is because Ernesto left, how much of it is because before he left, maybe he wasn't as diligent as in the past. But whatever the reason is, there are just so many questions at KPFT that Alma and I are going to be spending the next couple of days really trying to sort through them. Sorry for the long answer about the two of those.
I have one other quick question, and that is, can you email us, if you can't tell us now, what pay is owed to each LES and to you, and also to True Ballot, and the exact numbers, because I know I personally am on the national board, and I will bring it up to the national board to push for payment.
Thank you. At this point, it's David Levine, and I'll double check the numbers. I was finally paid 2 weeks ago. I was finally paid up through the August 15th invoice. I invoice monthly, so there's a September 15th invoice, which I got in late. So that one is fine. It was a little less than fine that I didn't get paid, from my June, I hadn't been paid from my June 15th to July 15th to July 15th to August 15th invoice until the end of September. But at that point, I've been caught up, and the other LESs other than David are. But I'll try to get from David the exact number and amount. I know that he was going in the station. Sorry, I'm starting to lose my voice. David was going in the station today to record the cart to announce that the election had been extended. And I had been in contact with Jerry, and Lydia Brazon had been in contact with Jerry about trying to make sure that David received payment. And so I haven't been able to find out from David whether he received payment today. So as soon as I find out from him tomorrow, I can send that email. Thank you, Grace.
Okay, thank you. All right, great. Jan was next. Then Bob and then Charles.
Yes. If possible, can you please send us the complete abusive emails, including the names of the people who sent them, since I think that will be very important for us to try to deal with them internally. And second of all, if there is any question about quorum at any of the stations, could you give us the exact number of votes that we have as of September 30th? Because that way we can really push to get people in. It's much easier to get people to vote if they know, okay, we need 100 more votes or 1,000 more votes, or is both staff and non-staff.
Okay, I can ask the election company to try to give me another update tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. That would be very important so that we can really push the programmers to announce it and we can, and so forth. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bob?
Okay, great. Just to wait real quick, I wanted to mention, Dan, the brightly colored envelope thing, because I know that was something you pushed for. You know, it definitely got noticed. People would, like, email about it. You know, they would specifically refer to the bright yellow envelope, which, of course, you know, I put in all my emails and put on the website. And so, you know, whether or not it actually made a difference, you know, I have no idea, because we still had quite a few replacements. I mean, we still had a lot of people emailing saying, I misplaced my ballot. You know, there was a lot of replacement ballot requests. But I will say that people definitely noticed the brightly colored envelope. I just wanted to sort of remember to pass that feedback on to you.
Oh, thank you. And if you in your form, because I do think it made a difference. It made a difference in my house.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. You're breaking up, Jan, I think. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I missed some of that. But okay. I heard something about a report, but I don't know what.
Oh, wait a minute. I just wanted to say, can you put it in
there? Oh, got it. You are breaking up.
Made a huge difference. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Oh, and
okay.
I can. Mm-hmm. Yep, never mind. Let me go.
Okay, ready for the next one? Bob was next.
Bob? Yeah, and then it was Charles. Right. Bob?
Bill, it appears we're not going to have time to address the previously submitted questions.
Well, if any of you want to bring any of them up, I'll leave it up to you folks. But
okay, I'd like to go through the stack.
I'll decide which ones are more important.
Okay, Eric would like to go through the stack.
Okay, and then go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Hi, Lynn. I am very concerned at WBAI that there was several reports from listener voters that they were absolutely sure that they qualified in the time frame, and yet their repeated requests by both email and voicemail to the LES for replacement ballot or for the first time getting a ballot were not responded to, and there, in some cases they were never responded to and they were denied the right to vote. And I just wanted to know if you know anything about that or if there's anything that can be done. And then a related question, not on that level of disturbance, but definitely problematic, was that there were issues raised about the a lot of mistakes in the online candidate statements that were published that were not rectified, although they were brought up many, many weeks ago. And also, I believe, at least one Fair Campaign violation that was not ruled on. So I just wanted to know if you have any thoughts on that.
So as far as, you know, listener voters that they repeated requests that they weren't responded to, you know, I don't have access to the LES's, you know, email accounts. You know, their employees, I don't have access to their email accounts. I do, though, did receive emails from people from stations saying, oh, I made this request, I haven't heard back, stuff like that. I actually did not receive a lot of emails from listeners at WBAI saying that they had been trying to qualify and hadn't heard back. So like, hearing this is a bit surprising. If it was included in an email that was about, you know, 20 other issues with a level of hyperbole and a subject header about me giving the finger to people at WBAI, then it's possible that I might have missed it.
No. These were not sent to you, and they weren't combined with other issues. It was individual voters saying, I didn't get my ballot, and I, you know, I've sent you an email, and I haven't heard anything.
And so that would have been sent to Keani, and then they never sent it to me.
Right.
Right, okay. So, I mean, it's a little difficult if they never sent it to me for me to know, and it's a little difficult to hear third-party reports of things. People were encouraged to certainly, you know, where possible, like when we were given, when we got requests from people saying, oh, I heard these five people didn't get a ballot, we pretty much always said, well, we really kind of have to hear from those people individually, because a lot of times we have to track down why they didn't get a ballot, and it often refers to you know, fairly private, confidential information about their donation requests. So it's hard for me to give you an answer when, number one, I didn't receive any email saying I sent repeated requests to the LES that were never responded to. I don't know who you're talking about, so it's a little hard for me to respond to that one. The related questions about mistakes on the website, I mean, I saw emails about dashes and colons and some formatting issues that that I'm sorry didn't get rectified. I think there was something about a photo that, you know, because I can't remember all the details off the top of my head, that I don't know whether the photo was either submitted or not submitted, whatever it might be. I do want to remind everyone that, you know, we ask people to submit their information directly onto the site themselves. And I believe, and I could be wrong, that many, if not all, of the situations that arose were from people who didn't bother to do it themselves. And so then the LES had to do the extra work involved. And I apologize if there were some missing dashes or underscores or dots or whatever it might be. Also, the formatting for the back end of the candidate statement, there isn't formatting. So there's not, like, you don't have bolded or bullet points or anything like that. When I asked Otis about that, you know, he said that that was pretty much deliberate, that it's just that there's no special formatting involved. And then as far as the at least one fair campaign violation, I'm not sure what you're referring to because, again, that was a pretty generic comment.
Okay, very quick follow-up. The most important errors as far as the candidate statements were not minor punctuation. They were the entire questionnaire answer was omitted, or, you know, one of the other statements where it was omitted. Yes, there were other smaller things, but there was major things just left out, even though they had been submitted.
Okay, I can go back and take a look. I mean, at a certain point, you know, I mean, the information was supposed to have been submitted. I know that Kiani had offered to enter information when people didn't do it themselves. I know some people had said that they weren't able to do it themselves, and yet some of those people seemed to have the ability to send a lot of emails. So it's a little bit confusing there, because it seemed like they clearly do have access to the internet. So I remember seeing a number of emails that seemed to suggest that there were a lot of punctuation errors. And so I don't have it in front of me. I can look it up and I can double check. And, you know, I don't really know what to say other than the fact that those statements were up as of June 30th. And so if there was a month and a half, 2 months away in sending information about inaccuracies, I'm sorry that in the middle of everything else that it didn't get taken care of. And I'll certainly talk with Kiani about it. And you guys can decide, you know, how you want to proceed. I can't go back and change the past.
9:23.
Okay. Yeah, we need to kind of hurry. Okay, so I believe Charles and then Eric and then Serene again, if we have time. Charles?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
I just quickly wanted to thank you for, you know, your service in this regard and ask a particular your opinion on whether or not you think that making the emails public would be a good thing to do. Sometimes, you know, people are shamed when they're confronted by their own actions. And, you know, we end up believing things easily that are not true because, as Mark Twain said, you know, the lie makes its way halfway across the world before the truth gets its pants on in the morning. So I'm just wondering if you think that would be a good idea or if you have another suggestion, but so that in the future, you know, we can kind of like have a more civil election.
I mean, I think it's a good question. It's hard to say, you know, and it's even been a difficult line to know when people are making, like, say, complaints and they're having their allegations, you know, what you do and don't make public when, you know, when people are sending in an email. I mean, it's easier. You know, the process was you fill out this form, download this form, and send it. And when people follow that process, you know, it's amazing the difference in the level of, like, the rhetoric and the language involved. When they didn't follow the process, which, to be clear, was the overwhelming majority of people who had sent in emails complaining who wouldn't follow the actual report a campaign violation process. And so in not doing, I think, this freedom to kind of email whatever they want, whatever language they want, without necessarily any repercussions, I think led to really language that I was really surprised by and taken aback by. I don't know whether it's fair to make the name of the sender public because they didn't necessarily expect that. I'd really have to look into it. I don't know enough about, like privacy laws when it comes to that. I'm not sure who might. I can ask around.
Well, if not the names, then just the body, the content might be enough.
Yeah, I can. I mean, I can certainly, you know, there's, like, you know, I already gave you, like, a sample of, like, subject matter of you're giving the finger to, you know, whatever, you know, 300 voters. I mean, you get emails with those type of subject headers. You know, I have to tell you, it makes you really reluctant to even open the email because you're worried about what other type of hostility you're going to encounter. It's also problematic when people send not just an email to you or to you in the LES or whatever it might be, but then they send it to 67 people, three of which are like Yahoo groups or Google groups or groups that myself or the LES isn't a member of, so that even if we do reply to all 67 people, the untold number of people who are on those private groups don't get the reply. And so then those people start writing back, and then those people start writing back. And next thing you know, there's an email strand that has all these people writing in, and half of it's inaccurate because they didn't see your simple reply. And just the whole email culture, it makes it very, very difficult. I mean, the number of times that we would get emails at 10:32 p.m. on a Friday, and then we would get another email the next morning, and then we would get a third email complaining that no one had answered their emails, and it was all of 12 to 14 hours over a weekend. I mean, it happened again and again and again. And while that may not use abusive language in the same way that some of the others did, you know, at a certain point, when it happens again and again and again, it feels very difficult, and it certainly saps the enthusiasm and eagerness that someone might feel. So I really, you know, I'm very pleased that the LESs who stuck with it, and I'm very sad that they had to experience what they had to experience. I mean, I can tell you that when I was interviewing people, I actually specifically told them and asked them, you know, whether or not they had a thick skin, and I said that was one of the primary requirements, because having read the past reports from LESs and NESs, this is not a new issue. So I can continue to write about it, but I have zero confidence that this issue is going to get addressed, because it's been raised again and again and again, whether it's the status of the membership list or just the sheer amount of stress that the LESs face, and I don't see any change. I'm not confident that that's going to change, and it's really disheartening.
928.
Okay,
thank you.
And I am so sorry, Lynn, and I hope you'll apologize to all the LESs for that too. Eric, I believe, is next.
Lynn, thank you for joining us this evening. In Washington, we had a very difficult relationship with our LES during the last election. And we have issues, as a footnote, we have issues during this one as well. But we had specifically requested this time around to have a different LES, and a determination was made that it was somehow in our best interest to have the same LES we had previously. I wanted to know what factors determined.
Nancy Sorden.
Nancy, what's your point of order?
How this information that Eric is giving? Where has this information come from? Who verified it? I'm from WPFW as well, and I never heard of it being verified.
I
think he's asking a question. Well, why don't you go ahead, Eric?
Yeah, what factors determined how an LES was sent to a particular station?
Okay, sure. So as far as this issue of it was specifically requested to have a different LAS. I'm not 100% certain I know what you're referring to. I can tell you that when I started, I believe my contract started on May 15th, maybe May 16th, one of those 2 days, you know, for the election that began on June 1st. So just as a side note, I believe the bylaws say that your national election supervisor should be hired in March. And so obviously that didn't happen. That not happening, you know, created a whole trickle effect. One of those things meant that the hiring of LESs just was also a fairly quick affair. So what I had done is I posted the job description on a variety of places, including the Pacifica, including the Pacifica website, but also on Craigslist and Idealist. And then I received resumes. When I received resumes, I read them and I looked for certain qualities, and previous election administration specifically was something that would have put an applicant, you know, at least at my list to take a second look. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to mention names because of staffing issues and stuff like that, so I won't mention the name. But the person at WPFW had election administration experience, not just with WPFW, but with, I think with a number of organizations. I think he had been like an observer of international elections. I think he had a whole host of experience with election administration related activities. When I sent him an email asking to interview him, and then asked him about his experience with the election the previous time, you know, he had told me, he had told me that the election hadn't gone through to its full term, so he had explained where there's pieces of the job that he hadn't had to do because the election didn't go, because the staff were seated as opposed to actually holding an election. I reached out to the previous national election supervisor, asking if she could provide any more information. I did not hear back from her. You may or may not remember that her report, her final report, didn't actually come through until I think 4 days after I was hired, which would probably be about 5 or 6 months late, and her report was quite short. Anyway, when I contacted WPFW, the station, about who I was interested in
hiring.
Just talking,
Lynn, we don't really talking about personnel stuff, but if you can answer this question of that going into the TV detail first.
He's a contractor. There is no personnel issue.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure that's exactly right. But go ahead, Lynn.
I'll fast forward, which is that I contacted the station, told them what I was interested in hiring. I heard there was a concern. I got on the phone with the people expressing the concern. I tried to understand the concern because, as far as I could tell, was the concern was about paying someone for work they had done. And I confirmed that that was the case. And I had said very specifically that, you know, if I was absolutely told I should not hire this person, that they could not be worked with, that I would start the entire process from scratch, which could mean a delay of, you know, another week or two for me hiring someone, or that I could go ahead and hire this person who seemed to have the skills and who had experience, which I thought that given the very late notice of my hire and their hire would be an advantage. So it's perhaps that's what you might have heard. And I have to say that I actually feel that having had been through the process before was actually somewhat advantageous. And I have to say that I actually felt that there was at least one email I received that was relevant to that LES, which was, in my opinion, the language used in it was out of line. The fact that LES has continued to work for 6 weeks beyond being paid, almost the exact scenario he was in, you know, last year, I think shows and demonstrates a commitment to trying to offer as solid an experience as possible. And I continue to be very disappointed at the concerns raised, which I cannot see really any. I really have not been given any example of him not doing his job. And so I did give a long answer to this question, so I'm far beyond where I need to be, which means I'm now late for my next call. But I just want to be really clear about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lynn, and thank you so much for your commitment. And everybody, let's remember Lynn and all the LESs are part-time people, too, and we're basically asking them to do a full-time job, especially the last few weeks, I guess. But thank you, Lynn, and I guess we'll keep emailing. Hi, Jim. Well, I think Lynn needs to leave. She said she needed to leave five minutes ago.
That's correct, Lynn. I just want to ask her to forward all the information. Hello?
Go ahead, Jim. It's quick.
I just want to make sure that she forwards the information that that was asked to all of us.
Okay. I thought I was supposed to put it on the website. If we're talking about the numbers?
Yeah, the numbers and what's owed.
Oh, right. That's right. Yes, I have it in my notes, too. Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Let me make the
thank
note.
You.
Right, thank you. All right. Good night. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lynn. Everybody else hold on? Okay. Let's see. Something we decided or at the beginning of the meeting, we'd wait till after the Lynn's report in Q&A, was to go back to the minutes from which meeting was it, Nancy, September 21st?
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, yes, right.
And there was an issue. Are you still on the call, Serene? Because there was an issue about something you had asked about that was in those minutes.
What was that?
That we were hoping to clarify.
What was that?
Let's see. Let me find them here. Okay, these are questions for. This is on the September 21st minutes. There were some questions for Lynn and for the LESs. Serene's questions were carts. I'm reading from the minutes, the draft minutes. Carts need to be done about :1, last date sending out ballots requested. 2, LES, we have a ballot. Where shall we send it? Asking voter to provide address. And 3, forgot. So, does anybody remember what the third thing was? Do you remember, Serene?
This Nancy, she said, I have 3 things.
Okay, Nancy.
And when she listed them, she forgot what the third thing she wanted to say. So that's why I put.
Oh, okay.
It might be
is that right?
Wrong.
Is that right, Serene? Do you have anything we need to correct on that? Can't hear you, Serene. Well, maybe in
I
that case,
say,
it would just be best to,
can,
to forget
say,
that bracelet number 3.
I've, oh. I can you not hear me talk?
Yeah, okay, Serene, go ahead.
Okay. I was saying, I don't think it's that Nancy forgot. I think Nancy was conveying that I forgot what my third point was, which I think I got back to later, but who knows. We're supposed to all put them in writing. I don't think anybody ever did from that first meeting, anyway.
Okay.
Request
so,
information.
Okay, Nancy.
Yeah, I'd like to know what Serene was going to ask the NES.
Sure. I was going to raise the omissions and errors that Bob had talked about. For example, in my 500-word statement, the entire first page was missing, and I didn't contact them about this last Thursday. I contacted them about it more than a month ago. I mean, it was a considerable amount of time since it had been posted. But I assumed it was correct. When I realized back in August that it wasn't correct, I sent them a note detailing all of the errors, because from missing statements to 200-word statements duplicated and 500-word statements missing, there were huge flaws, not just punctuation, with all of our candidate statements, or at least the 7 people who were, you know, those of us who were running together. But the other question I wanted to ask her, and I thought it was really important, is the 300 or so, I think Jan used that number on this committee before, BAI, because you guys did a centralized mailing or something. The 300 ballots that were presumably returned, since the mailer, their slate mailer, had 300 or so returns, Now, tonight, Lynn says, well, you know, we might have been able to track them through an email address. But the point is, we are not aware that there was any systematic attempt to send to search the debt. I'm sorry, Nancy asked me what my question was. This is what my question was.
What we were, we're trying to see if we need to correct the minutes, and it was the point you were making about what carts need to be done about. That's what it says in the minutes.
Nancy, did I misunderstand your question to me?
Yes, Bill, could you let her finish? I wanted to...
I just want to make sure it applied to this part of the minutes, but okay. Go ahead, Shereen.
No, it doesn't apply to the minutes. It applies to tonight's situation because everyone else was allowed a follow-up question during their initial spot, and I was told I had to wait, and of course, later never came. But those ballots that came back, we do not know what process, if any, they used. So an analysis after the fact when she checks their names in the system to see if there were email addresses and they use those email addresses to get ballots is great. But it doesn't change the fact that in real time, a bunch of people who are records, however flawed they are, and they are flawed, it doesn't change the fact that those people never got an opportunity, a significant number of them, I suspect her analysis will show, never got a chance to vote. But regardless, what was done in real time to get those people their ballot?
Okay, well, what's on the floor right now is the minutes. We can come back to that shortly, but let's see if there's any other corrections needed for the minutes, if that's okay, from anybody for the September 21st minutes. It sounds like we did not need to correct this particular item that was brought up earlier. Okay, I'm not hearing any corrections. So is there a motion to approve those minutes? Actually, there already was a motion. Are there any objections to approving those minutes as presented? Hearing none, then the minutes from September 21st are approved. Thank you. Okay, now...
For information, Nancy.
Okay, Nancy.
Is it possible, I mean, she's extended the two elections. Is it possible we can make a motion or to recommend her to extend the WBAI for these ballots? I mean, it's a large number of ballots being returned. I don't understand why she couldn't extend it even just for a few days. That would give a chance.
Well, I mean, you can make a motion on anything, and it's just a recommendation anyway. So if you want to do that, that's fine. I'm not sure. If you want to, go ahead.
Yeah, I move that we recommend to the NES to extend the WBI elections until, I don't know, what would be good, to extend a reasonable amount of time for these ballots that return. Or just extend, since there's so much problems with so many ballots returning.
The 10th, can I suggest that we use the 10th? I think the there are two that have been extended to the 7th and one to the 10th.
Okay. Let me just, or anybody want to speak on this?
I'll try.
I did have a question after someone does speak on this, if I might request for information.
Okay. Well, let me just speak. People have had 6 weeks to ask for replacement ballots. I realize that we're about 5 weeks since they were delivered to most people. So people who did not get the, I realize there are a lot of them that were returned, but those people could have asked for replacement ballots, and I presume the ones that wanted them did already. Is that correct, or am I missing something?
Well, this is Serene.
Okay, Serene.
I don't know why you would make that presumption. People have a lot of things happening in their lives. And following up on a ballot, first of all, a lot of our members still do not know about the entitlement to vote on the local station board. That's why we have such difficulty, obviously, making quorum. A portion of them may be uninterested, but a significant number of them, I suspect, are simply unaware. But it's not whether or not somebody had a time to send several email. I mean, I know one person who made their PayPal donation. Their membership was challenged because they'd signed a petition. They were told, you're not a member, essentially, or the candidate was told, this signature is no good. You didn't have enough valid signatures. The person produced their PayPal payment, their PayPal receipt. They still didn't get a ballot, and they still didn't get a ballot when they requested a ballot. They wrote yesterday and said, I'm pretty ticked off. You know, I'm still waiting for a ballot. So there are, and I don't think that's just one story. There are a number of people who, and I don't know if it's a PayPal problem for us here in New York or what the basis is, but a significant number of people who are entitled to vote and who requested replacement ballots did not get them. That's a problem. And that warrants an extension because it's about making sure people get what's theirs, not whether or not we meet in, you know, a quorum number